Our help is the name of the eternal God, who is making the heavens and the earth. We give thanks for all that is good, for our creation and our humanity, for the stewardship of this planet Earth, for the gifts of life and of one another, for love unbounded and eternal. Psalm 9. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. We can recall and give thanks for the sun, beautiful sunsets and sunrises, people and events which have given us light after a period of darkness. For the hills, mountains in a wilderness, hills giving pasture for sheep, places to which we have retreated to be with God. For the water, the blue water reflects the blue of the sky, those times when we have seen heaven reflected on earth. The water provides a home for fish, those who have made us feel at home. The water quenches our thirst, those who have shared with us the water of life. The water washes away dirt, those who have given us assurance of acceptance at times of failure and depression. Flowers. Flowers come to us in a great variety of colour and form. Those who have captured for us the beauty through art. Those who in all their different personalities bring us joy. And the birds. Birds freely soaring high into the sky. Those who have risen above prevailing values in society to find new ways to touch the hearts of all, and who have enabled us to join in their flight. We praise you, O eternal God. The sun praises you, the moon and the stars praise you, the high hills, the running rivers, the lakes, the wave-tossed oceans praise you. The tall trees, the wild flowers, the cultured roses and green grass, the life-giving vegetables praise you, the soaring birds, the wild beasts, the farm animals, the friendly pets praise you, the angels, the whole company of heaven, your whole family on earth praise you. We join their praise, we praise you. Paying the respect of the First Peoples of Australia and acknowledgement of country is an opportunity for anyone to show respect for traditional owners and the continuing connection of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples to country. The acknowledgement song was first written on Whadjuk Noongar country. Guidance was sought from Auntie Mari Taylor, Marinda Hansen and Della Ray Morrison when writing the acknowledgement song.
We are gathered, joined in spirit. Our acknowledgement of country comes from the heart, and we sing with one voice. We acknowledge true custodians who walked and cared for this land. Pay respects to elders past and present, millions of footprints in sand. Their descendants are our future. We seek your wisdom and grace. Please teach us how to care for country, respect this sacred place. We are gathered, joined in spirit. Our acknowledgement of country comes from the heart, and we sing with one voice. We are listening to your stories to understand brings history to heal the sunburnt land. We are gathered, joined in spirit. Our acknowledgement of country comes from the heart, and we sing with one voice.
Good morning and welcome everyone on this beautiful, beautiful day. We welcome those that are going to be taking this service now at home or at another time. You are very much part of our community. Now, we're going to sing today. You would have had in your news sheet that Church Council very seriously considered this and has decided that, yes, we can sing, provided we leave our masks on. So I invite you here, and you at home may wish to join in song as well. And our singers are going to sing for us All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Very famous people have sat on this stool. Bob, Jan, Dave Allen. I'm going to read you a story. I love this story. It is called The 99th Sheep, written by Merrill Doney and illustrated by Taffy Davies. I suspect Taffy was a Welshman. The 99th Sheep. Jesus told two very famous stories to show just how much God loves us. One we call the lost sheep. The other is usually known as the prodigal son. But it's really about two sons. One took his share of his father's money and left home. The other stayed behind but was very jealous when his brother was welcomed back. So in this story, says Merrill, I've mixed the two together and told them from the sheep's point of view. But Jesus' original message is still the same. Oh, my poor feet, said Curly as he limped down the track towards the fold. It had been a long, hot day on the hillside outside Bethlehem, and every sheep was glad to see the grey stone walls of home. Don't shove. You pushed in. Ouch, my hoof, cried the sheep as they all tried to push through the doorway at once. One, two, three. The shepherd began his patient counting. 65, 66, 67. His practiced eye picked out the sheep, each sheep as it passed. 96, 97, 98, 99, heard Curly as he limped in, last. Wait a minute, said the shepherd. 98, 99, someone's missing. It's not me, I'm here, said Curly. The shepherd turned to look back up the track. Already the sun had dipped behind the hill. The path was empty. Judah, Ben, help me count again, he called to his two sons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 98, 99. It's Daisy, said Curly. Bah! Trust Daisy, said another sheep. Always trouble, came several other bleats. It's Daisy, I think, Father, said Judah. Oh, the shepherd sighed. You know what to do, boys, he said to his sons. He hitched his water bottle back onto his shoulder, took up his crooked stick, and set wearily off up the track. The sheep settled down to sleep. Move over, I haven't got room. You've heaps of room, you're too fat. No, I'm not. Mind my foot, clumsy. Judah pulled his cloak around his shoulders and settled himself in the gap in the wall, making himself into a human door. Ben set out for the village to ask for help. When Ben arrived in the village, everyone was preparing for the evening meal. He went to the neighbour's house. Please can you help us? One of our sheep is missing, he begged. It's Daisy. Daisy! Ha! Not again, everyone laughed. Out on the mountainside, Daisy looked up from the clump of grass she was munching. That's funny, she thought. Where is everyone? She scanned the empty path. The tips of the hills were glowing pink in the last rays of the setting sun. There was no sign of the flock, the boys or the shepherd. A moment later, the sun dropped behind the mountains and the world was dark. Bah! Daisy bleated in alarm. Where are you, shepherd? Without stopping to think, she began to run uphill. The path narrowed into a track. The thorns scratched her legs. Suddenly the path disappeared altogether. Help! She bleated as she fell head over heels. Ouch! As the brambles caught her. Bah! As she landed on a narrow ledge. Help! She wailed. But her voice echoed away down the valley in the darkness. The night was just turning to grey morning when Daisy heard a tiny sound. Was it a voice calling? High above her, two vultures began circling lazily. Vultures love young sheep to eat. Daisy froze with fear. Then she heard the sound again. It was nearer this time and definitely a voice. Bah! Called Daisy. Bah! As loud as she possibly could. There you are, the shepherd's face, tired and hot, broke into a delighted smile as he peered over the cliff. Swiftly he scrambled down to the ledge and began to pull back the thorns. Soon have you out of here, Daisy, he said as he worked. Finally he lifted her up in his strong arms, slung her onto his shoulders and began the long trek home. Daisy closed her eyes. She was safe. Back in the fold, the sheep were restless. It's not fair, moaned Curly. All this fuss over Daisy. She's always dreaming and wandering off. Yes, said another sheep. She's just greedy, if you ask me. Serves her right if she's lost. Would you like to be alone and lost on the hillside at night? Asked a kindly old ewe. Curly looked up at the sky. He could see two vultures circling in the distance. He shivered. The sun was just coming up over the behind the fold when Curly heard the familiar whistle. The sheep who had been huddled together, dozing, stirred and looked up. Striding down the path came the shepherd. And there on his shoulders they could just see the small woolly outline of Daisy. I found her, the shepherd called to his sons. Is she okay? Yes, she's fine. A bit scratched, she was caught in brambles. The boys ran to meet their father. The shepherd grinned his happiness from ear to ear. Go and get your mother and the neighbours, he chuckled, and as he set Daisy down gently in the fold, we'll have a breakfast celebration. The sheep were not so delighted to see Daisy. Stupid, said one as she limped forward, causing so much trouble. It's not fair, said Curly loudly. All this fuss over Daisy. We've been here all this time. We didn't get lost. But Daisy gets the party. Shepherd's favourite. There was a long silence. Finally, the old ewe walked over to the miserable Daisy and licked her nose. He's a good shepherd, she said. He cares for every one of us. It wouldn't matter if it was me or you or Curly if we were lost. He'd come looking for us. That's just how he is. What a celebration breakfast they had that morning. The shepherd's wife brought newly baked bread. The boys carried water bottles and wine skins. The neighbours added figs, cheese and olives. And the shepherd played his pipes. Daisy kept close to the shepherd. And so did Curly, the 99th sheep. The shepherd bent down and patted them both on their woolly heads. There, he said gently. This party is for everyone.
You would have received your news sheet either via online today or this week, or it would have been delivered to you via our pastoral carers, or there is some in the foyer if you would like a paper copy. So please have a look through it. We are starting to get back to whatever we will see as normal in this church. There's our important notices in there. I would like to invite you all to a cup of tea or coffee in the hall after the service, where we're able to sit down, take our masks off, and enjoy a cup of tea and coffee and chat with our friends. And also, I remind you just again that when we're leaving the church today, this church, to take care when you're going out, of going via the eastern door if you're on this side of the church, and wait for the camera people to remove the cameras so we're not falling over leads and so on. So now let's have our prayer of dedication for our giving. Receive, O God, not only our gifts of money, but our heartfelt commitments to a more generous and equitable world. In the receiving, grant us your blessing and courage for living in Jesus' way. Amen. Amen. And we bring our prayers for the people. Our prayers remain empty if we do not inhabit them, if we do not mirror their desires through the people that we are and further seek to become. With this in mind, let us pray. Self-giving God, for those who remain voiceless and hungry in our world, for those targeted by greed and crass opportunism, hear our prayer for the serving with Jesus. For those who remain attached to their privilege and wealth, unable to see their neighbour's need due to materialism that blinds and binds, hear our prayer for the charging with Jesus. Hear our prayer, O Holy One. Take us down new paths of giving and human possibility. In the name of Jesus, Amen.
Our Bible readings today, our first one comes from Hebrews 4:12-16. When God speaks, things happen. God's words are like a surgeon's knife, cutting deep into the root of what's going on inside us. God knows all our thoughts and feelings. Nothing can be hidden from God. Everything that exists is completely open to God's inspection. It's to God we have to answer. Jesus, God's likeness, is our go-between this world and the world beyond time and space. So let's hold on to our trust in him. We have someone to represent us who can sympathise with our weaknesses. He has been through everything we have been through without doing anything wrong. So let's boldly get close to God and experience God's love firsthand. We will be accepted in spite of our faults and get all the help we need. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark 10:17-31. As he began to take the road again, after welcoming the children, a man came running up and fell at his feet and asked him, "Good Master, what must I do to be sure of eternal life?" "I wonder why you called me good," returned Jesus. "No one is good, only God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour your father and your mother." "Master," he replied, "I have kept carefully all these things since I was quite young." Jesus looked steadily at him, and his heart warmed towards him. Then he said, "There is one thing you still want. Go and sell everything you have. Give the money away to the poor. You will have riches in heaven, and then come back and follow me." At these words, his face fell, and he went away in deep distress, for he was very rich. Then Jesus looked around at them all, and he said to his disciples, "How difficult it is for those who have great possession to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were staggered at these words, but Jesus continued, "Children, you don't know how hard it can be to get into the kingdom of heaven. Why, a camel could eat more easily squeeze through the eye of a needle than a rich man get into the kingdom of God." At this, astonishment knew no bounds, and they said to each other, "Then who can possibly be saved?" Jesus looked straight at them and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter burst out, "But look, we have left everything and followed you." "I promise you," returned Jesus, "nobody leaves home or brothers or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or property for the sake of the Gospels, without getting back 100 times over, Now, in this present life, homes and brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and land through not without persecution, and in the next world, eternal life. But many who are first now will then be last, and the last now will then be first. So endeth our reading. Thanks be to God.
I think one of the loveliest sentences in the gospel reading was from Philip's translation. Jesus looked steadily at him and his heart warmed towards him. The RSV, or the new RSV, says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Either way, it's a wonderful sentence. There was a little boy once who was flying his kite, and suddenly the weather changed and the cloud descended, a fog came in, and he couldn't see the kite anymore. And a man walking past said, "What are you doing, sonny?" He said, I'm flying my kite." He said, I can't see any kite." He said, "Well, no, neither can I, but from time to time I feel a tug and I know it's there." I can feel a tug. And I know it's there. And I wonder if all of us have felt a tug of that mystery we call God. It may have happened when we were young, in our teens, or when we were older. Maybe through some experience, a bereavement, a crisis of some kind. But we've sort of felt the tug. We can't see, but we believe that mystery we call God is there. Well, here's a wonderful story of a young, rich ruler. Well, the other Gospels, not Mark, but the other Gospels kind of give us that clue that he's young, he's rich, and he's a ruler. And I see a wonderful contrast as he runs up and falls at the feet of Jesus. For he's an aristocrat, a wealthy guy, and he falls at the feet of someone who is poor and about to become an outlaw. And I reckon he felt the tug of what Jesus was about. Jesus, we are told in our reading today, had just come from blessing the children. Children were nobodies in that day. Maybe he had observed and seen Jesus in action, if you like. Well, he said, "What must I do?" Actually, the Jewish faith, and you read it as you came in, the first opening words of Genesis. I know you read it from right to left, from the top. Barashith, bara Elohim. Yes, in the beginning God. Well, this young man was reminded of the Torah, of the law. Jesus reminded him. And he immediately said, "From when I was very young, I have kept the Torah." Mainly, it seems, by avoidance. I have not done this and I have not done that. Perhaps we can relate to that. I can certainly remember growing up in my youth that what made me a good young Christian was I didn't do this and I didn't do that. Not like some others. So he was self-congratulating himself, but there was still that tug of Jesus on him. Judaism, the Torah, was a very practical religion. It was about doing things. And one of the things to do was to look after the poor. So Jesus reminded him that that is what would put him on the right track. That would be the tug that would pull him on the right path. Go and sell what you've got. Give to the poor. Wonder how he'd got rich. I suspect a bit of skullduggery, a bit of dishonesty here and there. Maybe he wasn't as squeaky clean as he was presenting himself to Jesus. "All these I have kept from my youth," he said. And Jesus reminded him of his religion and of a priority that he ought to adopt. and his face fell, and he went sorrowfully away. I think this is the only occasion in the Gospels where someone turned away like that. So there was a tug in the other direction. His wealth. He was not prepared to put that aside to be a follower of Jesus with his tug on their life, on his life. When did you decide that it was a good thing to put aside where your life was going to follow Jesus? When was it that you heard in a sermon or sang in a hymn or heard the scripture that pulled you into following Jesus? Because that's what Jesus said to the young man. Do this and come and follow me. Jesus looked steadily at him and his heart warmed towards him. When was it that you felt Jesus looking at you and that he warmed towards you and loved you? I can remember several times in my life when it's been somebody else that has given me the tug. It was the minister who said, when are you going to start preaching? I'd never thought about it. But that tug got me into training to be a lay preacher. And there are other occasions. When are those occasions in your life? Jesus looked at him and loved him, and he walked away. May the tug of that mystery we call God still be yours and mine today. Why don't we go and tell it on the mountain?
Thank you. Thank you. expanding. It's always a treat to play next to you.
Thank you. You too.